a few days ago, that's Wednesday in the U.S., Thursday here, the U.S. media highlighted the 100th day of the Obama presidency. And there were evaluations made by analysts, surveys were conducted of the public polls, and mostly the assessment has been very positive, and they were commending the presidency of President Obama. Now, of one thing I am sure, the one who learned most from those 100 days must be President Obama himself. And one of the things that he would have learned is that his every move in public is scrutinized. Isang araw, isang minsan, napabaw siya ng medyo mababa sa hari ng Saudi Arabia. He was criticized for bowing too low. At another instance, he shook the hands of Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez, a harsh U.S. critic, and he also was criticized for shaking the hands of the Venezuelan president, which I thought are petty things to say, given the big magnitude of his responsibility. But what it does tell us is that when you are in the public eye, there is something people will impute on every move, fair or unfair. Kung ikaw ay nasa mata ng publiko, ang bawat kilos ay binibigyan ng mga interpretasyon, tama man o mali. Well, of all the Old Testament prophets, there is none whose every move, I believe, has been analyzed as that of Jonah. At itong ating titingnan na propeta ngayon sa serye na ito ay isang popular, isang kwentong siguro'y alam ng marami, kahit yung hindi nakakaalam ng Biblia, may nalalaman sa kwento ng isang propetang inihagi sa isda. That is something that has gripped the imagination of those who know the story of Jonah. It was a story that gave us perhaps the most famous fish in history, without even knowing what kind. But it is because of this very popularity that many miss the wonderful theme of the book of Jonah. And I hope that by God's grace, we will be able to extract that theme in this series. But who was Jonah? Well, listen to 2 Kings 14:25, where Jonah was described or introduced as God's servant, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-Hepher. So at least in this data of the scriptures, we know of the descent of Jonah. We know where he came from, a place called Gath-Hepher. And this town is identified with a village that is just 2.5 miles north of Nazareth. That gives us a very interesting question. Was Jonah, like Jesus, a Galilean? But having just finished our series on Amos, we can put the timeline of Jonah as contemporary with that of Amos. Jonah was just slightly earlier, but their prophetic ministries coincided. Nagkatagpo itong ministeryo ni Amos at ni Jonah, at pareho silang nagministeryo sa kapanahunan na may prosperidad sa Israel sa ilalim ng paghahari ni Jeroboam II. But now the question that probably separates Jonah from the rest of the prophets is that what was the prophetic message of Jonah? Ano ang mensaheng propesiya ni Jonah? We certainly associate all other prophets with their message, probably famous prophecies of the future or messianic announcements. Every prophet in the Old Testament we can associate with certain prophetic pronouncements and themes and message pertaining to the future or the Messiah. Well, there is none of that in Jonah. Instead, I am suggesting, as the series title bears out, his life is the message. Yung buhay ni Jonah ang mismong mensahe na gustong ipahatid ng Diyos sa atin, at ito ang ating gagawin. Sa bawat yugto ng pangyayari dito sa kwento ni Jonah, may hatid na mensahe sa atin. And here is the very first instance that will be introduced to us concerning Jonah. A great contrast with what we have learned of Amos. When Amos was called by God, even though he was a native of Judah, he went forth to Israel, crossed the border, despite the fact that this must have been very uncomfortable to him. When God called him to the northern kingdom, immediately he complied with the commission. Well, Jonah will make himself infamous for his escape. Turn your Bibles to Jonah chapter 1. Well, I trust you have read the whole chapter before coming here. we will just read a few verses of Jonah chapter 1. Jonah, let's read verses 1 to 4 and then jump to verse 14. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid a fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind of the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Jump to verse 14. Therefore they, that is the mariners, cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Well, at the outset, let me assert that I believe, and I'm sure you do believe, the historicity of this account. Maraming nag-aakala na ito'y isang alamat lamang, parang isang pabula na hindi totoo, maaaring nagbibigay ng magandang mensahe, pero hindi kapanipaniwala yung kwento. Ang masasabi ko rin ay, I can give all the arguments, but to me, it is sufficient that the Lord Jesus, no less, believed in the historicity of Jonah. He took it as a historical account. And if my Lord Jesus accepted it as historical, then as a follower of Jesus, I have to accept it as historical. So to me, the argument is sufficient. Jesus accepted it, and I fully and heartily accept the historicity of the story of Jonah. Now, Jonah received the classic call of the prophet in the Old Testament. Yung expression na the word of the Lord came to, eh, malimit yan sa Old Testament. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to this and that prophet. So it's a very classic form of calling. In other words, as far as prophetic calling goes, nothing special in the case of Jonah. He was called to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh, from where Jonah was, would be in the direction of northeast. And what did Jonah do? Well, Jonah set out to go into the opposite direction, westward. So talagang sinasadya ito na hindi ito nagbaka sakali lang, baka may iba pang direksyon pag pinuntahan niya yung direksyon na panawagan sa kanya ng Diyos. Kundi sa umpisang-umpisa pa lamang ay talagang sinikap na ni Jonah na opposite direction yung kanyang pinuntahan. Besides this, Nineveh would have been just 550 miles by land. Whereas the direction he went to, the place he attempted to go to, Tarshish, would be 2,500 miles by dangerous sea. Ebe talagang, ibig sabihin, it's not for reason of danger, it's not for reason of difficulty of going to Nineveh, it's not for any of those reasons. There was something very special, as we shall see, in the reason of Jonah for avoiding Nineveh and going the opposite direction of Tarshish. Now, as the story unfolds, we are familiar with all the complications that his attempted escape brought. And from this, I draw a very simple message. Remember, his life is the message. And from this life of Jonah attempting to escape, there is a message to you and me. And the message is this: escaping from God's call and command is the harder course than obedience. Escaping from God's call and command is the harder course than obedience. Ang pagtakas sa panawagan at kautusan ng Diyos ay mas mahirap kaysa sa pagsunod. Maring may iniisip si Jonah na kung anong dahilan na makikita natin, it is common to interpret Jonah's escape as one of cowardice. I have heard preachers hammer out on this, that Jonah was a coward. He was a runaway prophet. And I believe that to be unfair and unkind to Jonah. Jonah's attempted escape was born of patriotism. And let me explain why. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. At alam natin sa biblical history, Assyria was one of those superpowers that became a real threat on Israel. And in fact, not only was it a threat in Israel's history, Assyria would actually swallow up Israel until it was totally lost as a nation. So kumbaga, yung takot sa Assyria ay hindi isang empty fear, it was a real fear that in fact came to realization. And so try to put yourself in the place of Jonah. He looked at Assyria as threat to Israel, and Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. Lo and behold, in an unprecedented commission by God, no prophet was yet called to a city of the Gentiles outside of Israel in order to bring home the message of God. And Jonah, for the first time in the history of the Old Testament, God was calling him, and contrary to all other prophets, he was being called to a Gentile city. And probably Jonah might have considered if it is just any other Gentile city, but this was Nineveh. This was Assyria, the threat to Israel. So I believe that to be kind to Jonah, we must consider that he was motivated by love for his people, by protectiveness of Israel. And so he did not want to go to Nineveh and to help Assyria. In other words, I suggest that what was going through the mind of Jonah was to say that it would be better for God to judge Assyria, judge Nineveh. It would be better for that city to be left to its wickedness until God shall judge it, and it would be better for Israel. That's how Jonah thought. So when God called him to Nineveh, his only course of direction was opposite of God's call, except that he did not consider it to be the harder course. And there are two reasons why. First, there is no real escape from God. There is no real escape from God. And secondly, there is no total escape from self. Ito yung dalawang bagay na hindi inasahan ni Jonah. O siguro, inaakala niya, subalit hindi nangyari. First of all, there is no real escape from God. Twice, we are told that he went from the presence of the Lord. He paid a fare, we are told, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Siguro kung nag-iisip si Jonah, kagaya natin kuminsan mag-isip, nagbakasakali siya sa Joppa, eh dito pa lang may desisyon na siyang pumunta ng Tarshish, nagbakasakali siya sa Joppa, tamang-tama na merong barko na patungong Tarshish. Eh siguro iniisip pa niya, naku, providence na ito ng Panginoon. Tamang-tama eh. Gusto kong pumunta ng Tarshish, eto na, papuntang Tarshish. Hindi ba ganyan tayo mag-isip kung minsan? May mga bagay na pinagdidesisyonan tayo, hindi muna natin iniisip, ito ba'y kalooban ng Diyos, ito ba'y ayon sa salita ng Diyos, basta naisip mo lang, gagawin ko to, at pagkatapos tamang-tamang may nangyari na nagkaroon ka ng ganong oportunidad, and immediately you jump to the conclusion, this is God's providence, without first checking against the Word of God. Well, here was Jonah. He had a clear call. The commission was very pointed and straightforward. Go to Nineveh, northeast. And Jonah went to Joppa. And just as he wished and expected a boat going to Tarshish, he paid his fare. And we are told he went with them from the presence of the Lord. Isipin niyo, did Jonah really and seriously believe that he could buy his ticket away from the Lord's presence? Basta bumili lang siya ng ticket na pamasahe, makakatax ba siya sa presensya ng Diyos? Did he really imagine that he could lose God by way of a complicated route? May ililigaw ba niya ang Diyos? I cannot presume what Jonah must be thinking, but I do know that some Christians think that way. They are forgetting a simple truth, and this simple truth will emerge again and again in every episode of the Jonah story, the providence of God. And by the providence of God, we mean the control of ordinary events by God for His purpose. Kontrolado ng Diyos ang mga karaniwang pangyayari na magagamit niya upang tuparin ang kanyang layunin. At ito ang nangyari kay Jonah. And there is one thing that we learn about God's providence in the story of Jonah. The providence of God serves His commission of His servants. Ginagamit ng Diyos ang kanyang providensya upang isakatuparan ang panawagan niya sa kanyang lingkod. Hindi mo matatakasan. This is displayed in every episode, as I've said, of the story. Just when Jonah thought his plan was working so well, kung nabasa niyo yung chapter 1, tulog na tulog tong lalaking to sa kanyang cabin. Sarap ng kanyang tulog, siguro medyo komportable na siya. The plan is working quite well, and then we are told the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. Nagsugo ang Diyos ng malakas na hangin, maring unos sa karagatan. And there is a word that is repeated again and again in Jonah that we should not miss, though it seems just a little word. And that word is prepared. The Lord prepared a fish. The Lord prepared a vine. The Lord prepared a worm. Ang pinapakita nun yung mga mumunting mga pangyayari ay kontrolado ng Diyos, at sa pamamagitan ng mga pangyayaring yon ay tinatahi ng Panginoon ang kanyang gustong gawin na layunin. And the most memorable in this story of Jonah, the one that people just associate with Jonah, is how the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And let me just say that it has not been unprecedented in history. Cases have been known of people who were swallowed into the belly of a whale and came out alive. The experience itself is not unique and not unprecedented. And so there's nothing in and of itself miraculous in that story. But what is being played out here is the providence of God that followed the escaping prophet. And this is the reason why there's no real escape from God. You are surrounded by His providence. Napapalibutan ka ng kanyang providensya. Paano mo siya tatakasan? God uses natural and ordinary events to spoil and frustrate the plans of His escaping servant. Gagamitin ng Diyos ang kanyang providensya upang biguin ang mga plano ng pagtakas sa Diyos. In Jonah's case, it came in the form of a stormy wind. And that's exactly what hinders any maritime voyage. Yan naman ang pipigil. And don't imagine that God cannot reach out to the sea. When the Titanic set sail on its maiden voyage in 1912, its owners proudly called it the unsinkable ship. And so it set sail, and on its very maiden voyage, it sank. Nakabangga ng iceberg, and thousands died. One of the most tragic sea tragedies. And yet, their owners boastfully claimed that it was unsinkable. It's as if God played a humor on them. You cannot escape God even in the sea. The Lord always has the last say on what succeeds and what will be frustrated. Ang Diyos ang may huling salita kung ano ang magtatagumpay, ano ang mabibigo, ano ang kanyang bibiguin. Huwag kang magsalita ng huli. Hindi ba't yan ang payo ni James, James 4:13 and following? Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, James said, you ought to say, if the Lord wills. Kung kalooban ng Panginoon, kaanok man kaplanado ang buhay mo, At kung sa plano na yan ay kasama ang pagtakas sa Diyos. Maliwanag na nagplano itong si Jonah bago pa siya dumating sa pier ng Joppa na sa plano na niyang Tarshish. But this is the challenge to us. Beware of and challenge every thought of escaping God's calling and God's command. Kung merong pinapagawa sa ating alam mo na nagbigay sa iyo ang Panginoon ng kaloob, ng oportunidad, ng kakayahan, at naroon ang iyong magagawa para sa Panginoon at iyong tinatakasan, challenge that thought. There may be a duty that you ought to be doing but has been avoiding or deferring to do. There may be a ministry or service that you know you have opportunity and gift to do but you are avoiding. Maybe you should be praying more or praying more consistently. But like Jonah, he was found asleep in his cabin by the mariners. Maybe there is a service you can do in church. Maybe there is something in this week's DVBS that you can avail from yourself. And there may be other ministries that you know you are gifted. You have the time, just a little commitment is asked of you. And perhaps what you're doing is running in the opposite direction. Now, could it be that some frustrations you may be experiencing are sent by God in your escape route? Pwede mangyari yun na magpadala ang Diyos ng mga bagay na bumibigo sa iyong mga gustong mangyari. Augustine, in the 5th century, wanted to be a famous orator. He wanted to be known as a great rhetorician. And so what did he do? He established a school of rhetoric. And students applied, learned, and then abandoned him without paying their fees. And Augustine was left in despair. Ang ganda-ganda ng mga tinuro niya, tapos hindi siya binayaran. Eh yung pala, inihahanda lamang siya ng Panginoon sa talagang kanyang magiging panawagan na ang makikinabang hindi lamang ang kanyang henerasyon, kundi napakaraming henerasyon pagkatapos niya. And yet to him, it was at that point sheer despair, sheer embarrassment. But it was the Lord's frustration, sending frustration on His plans because God has other plans. At maaaring gawin yan sa atin ng Panginoon. Ang punto lamang, mga kapatid, huwag mong isipin na matatakasan ng Diyos. There is no real escape from God, and maybe the Lord is speaking to you through frustrations, through disappointments, through plans that are thwarted, through ambitions that see no fulfillment. There is no real escape from God. But there's a second point. There is no total escape from self. Now, I read to you from 2 Kings, the introduction of Jonah as the servant of the Lord, the prophet of God. And that's a positive introduction. And yet, Jonah's attempted escape from God was also an attempt to escape from who he really was, his identity, and his calling. And what better way to do that than with people and in a place where nobody knew him? Saan pa maitatago niya yung kanyang identity kundi yung mga taong hindi siya nakikilala at doon sa lugar na walang makakakilala sa kanya. And so, off to Tarshish. But when the storm became really threatening and pagans realized that their prayers went unanswered, they woke up Jonah. And they said, "You too must call upon your God. Because we have all called upon our gods and we are not answered. Now your turn to call upon God. So what are you doing here, you sleeper?" Yan ang tawag sa kanya, ikaw na matulugin, anong ginagawa mo rito? Now what does this tell us? It tells us this, that there are situations that will inevitably require and force out our confession of faith. May mga sitwasyon, dadalhin tayo ng Panginoon sa mga sitwasyon na mapipilitan tayo, kung tunay tayong mananampalataya, mapipilitan tayong ibulalas ang ating pananampalataya. Hindi maitatago. Here, Jonah chose the perennial comfort zone of disobedient believers. What comfort zone? Silence. Don't give away yourself. Don't say your convictions. Don't tell them. Just be silent. And so when Jonah was asked, call upon your God, hindi niya ginawa. There was no compliance. He was determined to hide himself. Yet, something happened that must have caught Jonah off guard. The mariners decided to cast lots. Lo and behold, the lot fell on Jonah. It reminds me of Proverbs 16:33. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Now, don't go from here and decide to bet sa loto. Ang punto nito, eto, nagtatago nga si Jonah. Ah, siguro, convincing yung kanyang pagtatago. Hindi na siya inuusisa. Eh, sinabi na lang, sige, mag-cast lots tayo. Eh, kalain mo bang yung lot napunta kay Jonah? Kaya siya na lalo pang nausisa. And it was at this point that Jonah could no longer hide himself. What did he say? I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Wonderful confession. But it's coming from a man in a compromised situation. A man who is escaping from God. And yet when brought to the wall, when he could no longer retreat, a true believer will bring out his faith. If need be, forced out of him. But a believer will bring it out. Only the false believer, only the hypocrite could hide himself completely, but not the true one. When pushed to the wall, you will have your faith out. What does this tell us? Well, it tells us, brethren, God uses people, even the unlikely ones, to confront and encourage His escaping servant. Gagamit ang Panginoon ng mga tao, maski pa yung mga iniisip nating hindi karapat-dapat, kunit gagamitin sila. Perhaps people who are even unbelievers are the very ones that remind you of your disobedience, as it was in the case of the mariners that reminded Jonah where he was, that he was escaping from God. These very pagans became the voice to Jonah that reminded him of his disobedience. But besides that, I think it would be grossly inadequate if we see here only the rebuke of God to Jonah. These mariners became God's confirmation to the prophet that His grace extends even outside to Israel. Hindi ba't yan ang isang bagay na tinatakbuhan niya? Hindi siya makapaniwala na aabutin ng Diyos ang mga Ninevites. And here, God is giving him a small demonstration, so to speak, because what happened to these mariners was that they began to believe in God as they saw what happened to Jonah. But then there's something here that we need to understand as happening to Jonah. Jonah, at this point, realized he has put these people into harm's way by his disobedience. And so he told them something that was too shocking that they did not do it immediately. Throw me overboard. Now, why would Jonah say that? I don't think he was suicidal. I think he was, at this point, convicted of what he has done. And he knew that the only way for these people to be spared would be to sacrifice himself. And what we see here is something that Jonah himself will learn later on. Compassion for sinners. Jonah was prepared to give his life. Now, this is Jonah, the servant of God, coming back to his senses. And God's compassion for sinners is the big theme of this book. This is what's lost by simply looking at the fish and the waves and the sea and all these other parts of the story. The big thing in the story of Jonah is the compassion of God for sinners. And here in this little demonstration in the boat, Jonah is being made to realize something of that compassion. compassion for these mariners whom he has put into harm's way by way of his disobedience. Now, there are people of that sort in our lives. May mga taong ganyan sa ating buhay. Yung mga nananahimik tayo. Ayaw nating ipakilala yung ating sarili. Ayaw nating sabihin ang ating pinaninindigan. But then, just like the lot fell on Jonah, something happens that forces out our faith. There's the case of Esther. When Esther was there in the kingdom, she was in a comfortable situation. But when the Jews were under threat, she was forced out to reveal her status. And that expression of Esther, "If I perish, I perish." Something of this happened, I believe, recently in a... I only read about this. I didn't watch it. Miss USA pageant. It happened to Miss California, who was a Christian. And by joining that pageant, I believe she already was in a compromised situation. She should not be there. But then being there, she was now among the finalists, and she was asked the question by a gay in the panel of judges what she thought of gay marriage, something like that. And there she was in a compromised situation, yet forced to reveal her faith. And she did it very well. I must say, I honor her for that. She said that whatever others think, she believes that marriage is between a man and a woman. And no offense to anyone out there, but she stood her ground. Her sponsors after the pageant insisted that she should apologize, and she refused. That's a person whose faith was forced out in a compromised situation. And you and I will have situations like that. Magkakaroon tayo ng mga sitwasyon na kinakailang sabihin mo ang iyong pinaniniwalaan. At huwag kang magtago. Hindi mo palaging maitatago ang iyong sarili. This is my point in saying there is no total escape from self. If you're a believer, if you're a servant of God, there may be things you're trying to avoid, but you cannot totally avoid who you really are if you're God's servant. Ilalabas at ilalabas mo ang katotohanan na ito. And so, here was Jonah in this situation, trying to escape, but ultimately forced out his faith. But meanwhile, I wonder what was going on in Nineveh. All the while that all these events were happening, what was going on in Nineveh? When God called Jonah, his description of Nineveh was that their wickedness has come up before me. All this was happening because God's focus was on the sinners of Nineveh. And he was preparing a preacher for them in order to extend his grace to them. Now do you see, my friend, what grace is extended to you when you can hear a preacher preach the word of God, and that the word of grace is delivered to you with all the word of God before your very eyes, before your very ears. God went all through all those troubles because of his compassion for the sinners of Nineveh. And here you are. You're listening to God's word. Whatever the frailty of the preacher, yet you are hearing the word of God declared. Would you still let go of that invitation to come to the gospel and come to experience salvation? This was the compassion of God. Now, for your part, you could be a Jonah in the sense that God is preparing you to be an influence on others. And perhaps attempts at escaping are being frustrated by God. Well, don't escape. The message is that escaping is the harder course than obedience. There are times when we may have to give up certain things. Give up on certain conveniences. Give up on some reputation. in order that we may stand upon our witness. I read this week of Isabella Trotter. Isabella Trotter had a privileged birth. Her father was a London businessman. And yet when she was converted, she chose the way of mission to the Muslims in Algeria. She founded the Algiers Mission Movement and became a useful servant of God. I'm sure she gave up on many conveniences. I'm sure she gave up on many things, the comfort of London, to the inconveniences of the Muslim world. And yet, she was a good testimony of mission. And I'm asking you, perhaps the Lord is calling you not to a mission field, but a simple ministry, a simple service. And how have you been responding to that simple service? There may be difficult things that challenge you. There may be inconveniences. And perhaps the natural instinct is to turn the other way, go to the opposite direction. Well, bear in mind Jonah, his attempt at escaping did not bear fruit because God ran after him. Don't let that happen. You cannot escape from God. You cannot even escape from yourself. Rather, embrace the course of obedience. Renew your confession of what you are to God. As Jonah said, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord. Then say it in your own conscience. I am a Christian. And I fear the Lord. And where He calls, I will follow. Let's close in prayer. Tulungan mo nga kami, Panginoon, sa serya na ito na makuha namin ang tunay na tema ng kwento ni Jonah. Ginamit mo ang kanyang buhay at sa pagbubunyag nito ay magkakaroon ng napapanahong mensahe para sa amin. At dito sa kanyang tangka na pagtakas sa iyo ay pinapakita kung paanong ang pagtakas sa iyong kautusan, sa iyong panawagan ay lalong mahirap kaysa sa lubos na pagsunod. And so help us, Lord, to learn this truth. For indeed, there is no real escape from you. For you are the God of providence. You are the God in Jonah who sent out the wind, prepared the fish, prepared the vine, prepared the worm. The biggest, the minutest, they are all in your hands. And as we learn from Jonah, you can frustrate your servant's plans because you had better plans. And it may be happening to us. There may be a Jonah in us trying to escape, thinking to buy our ticket out of the presence of the Lord. And it is just sheer illusion. And so help us, Lord, to understand that we are surrounded by your providence and that we may perhaps be being reached by your hand of providence, by way of frustration, disappointments. Grant, O Lord, that we would understand this and that we would follow you in your calling obediently and meekly, and that we would challenge every thought of escaping your call and your command. And we also learn from Jonah that there is no total escape from self. We may choose the comfort zone of silence, not introducing ourselves, not giving away our faith. But if we are true believers, as it happened to Jonah, we will be put in situations where our faith will be forced out and we will be found to be in compromised situations. Grant, O Lord, that we would be true to our faith, true to our identity, that just like Jonah, identifying himself, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord. So may we learn to identify ourselves to people. I am a Christian. I follow the Lord Jesus. And I fear God. And grant, O Lord, that our testimony before the eyes of unbelievers will be of a winsome kind, that which will bring them to the Lord. So use us. And as we have sang, make it our prayer that we would follow you wherever you call us. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.